1, 2, 3, 4. Some might be offended that I'm sharing the secret. I'll make an exception because I think you'll keep it. What I'm telling you's true. Cross my heart, hope to die. What have you got to lose? Why would I lie?
Hello. Real fast before we get to the episode proper, by popular request, we now have a podcast email, waltzpodcast@gmail.com. Send in questions, suggestions, comments, anecdotes, whatever you feel. waltzpodcast@gmail.com. That's waltzpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, and now to the episode. Hello and welcome to We Always Light as Strangers, a podcast about Ozark's history, folklore, and beyond. My name is Sharp Woolston.
I'm Daniel Smiley.
I'm Gustav Carlson.
And I'm Raymond Mathis.
And we might always light as strangers, but not on this show, because we're all friends here. Thank you for joining us. For the first time, all in the same room.
Woo!
In the Woodstuff studio.
Damn straight.
Woodstuff.
LLC.
Woodstuff.
Woodstuff?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, nailed it.
This is a bit of a aside, but I don't remember the intro if it's not pasted into all my scripts. But there was a typo, so every single time it says "Thank you for doing us."
Hell yeah!
All right.
For listeners, I am a carpenter and have a small wood shop, and we are all together here recording inside, and it's quite lovely.
Today's yarn pertains to the original Wild Man of the Ozarks.
Daniel Smiley.
No.
Maybe I should say a Bigfoot of our own. Ooh. The Blue Man of the Ozarks, also known as the Blue Man of Spring Creek. I should point out that there's no real history of wild men in the histories or folklore of the indigenous tribes of the Ozarks. The Osage, Quapaw, and Caddo had nothing regarding wild men from all of the research that I did about it.
Well, and a lot of Bigfoot stuff that we attribute to indigenous tribes is a lot of cryptozoologists making a lot of stuff up.
I mean,
that doesn't sound right.
We already had an episode that was
Yeah.
At least that one is tied to indigenous folklore.
Right, right. It's just Bigfoot in general. Like, if you find anything in folklore, a cryptozoologist will be like, that's clearly a Bigfoot.
Oh my God. I can't believe I whiffed. I have a book by Lauren Coleman, who's my favorite cryptozoologist.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he writes. I like how he approaches cryptozoology.
Who's your favorite, Daniel?
I don't think I have one.
It's too hard to choose.
I'm more in the UFOologist school. Like, I like the Mothman prophecies and stuff like that a lot.
Didn't Paul write most of the New Testament?
That was John.
Mm.
He was right.
Oh, no, that was George.
George?
I'm making a Beatles joke.
Oh, sorry. It definitely wasn't Ringo's dumbass.
We live in the reality where yesterday the movie happened, where no one knows who the Beatles are, so that joke just flew past Daniel. And most of our audience.
They should make a movie where you can pick a movie that you go into.
Mm-hmm.
That's the movie that I would move into.
Well, did you hear that they're having a whole cinematic universe of Beatles movies now, where they're going to have a movie with each Beatle?
But
an Avenger-style Beatle team-up.
Is that real?
That's real.
I feel like you're pulling my leg.
That's 100% real.
I read that. Yeah, like, it's at least that they get four.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think it's four movies from the same time period from each of their perspectives.
Yeah.
Well, wake me up when it's a Thin Lizzy version.
I just imagine.
The thing is, the Beatles are our generation's fucking Elvis. Think how much Elvis memorabilia and
how old are you, Raymond?
There were when we were growing up. It was all Elvis. You say that the Beatles are 10 years after Elvis.
That's why they're not our Elvis.
Our Elvis.
No, I mean our generation's.
That's probably true.
What I mean is when we were growing up and there was Elvis shit everywhere and we were all like, who the fuck cares about Elvis?
Yeah.
That's what every young person is thinking now. Do you think anyone under the age of 30 gives a fuck about the Beatles?
Yeah, why listen to anything from over 10 years old? Yeah, exactly.
There are people under 30 that like the Beatles.
I want to meet them.
All right.
That's that rare.
We can go to one bar and I could find someone that likes the Beatles.
Yeah, it's a pretty low bar.
All right.
I don't know if that was an intentional.
Nailed it.
Then we start listing bars.
We're probably cutting all of this Beatles talk because we're at 5 minutes and have not really started the episode.
You're the one who fucking brought it up.
Whatever Coldplay's art, Elvis.
It's Buck Cherry.
Hello and welcome. The first accounts of any wild men in the U.S. interior highlands was in 1834 in Greene County, Arkansas, which is in the northeastern part of Arkansas. It's snuggled right up there with the Missouri Boot Heel.
Oh, okay.
It is not the northernmost.
Right.
But where the Boot Heel kind of comes in, mm-hmm. right there, the bottom of the Boot Heel.
Greene County comes out.
Is that actually an interior highland?
Oh, no.
I don't think the Boot Heel is very highlandy.
But do they have a highland dairy there?
But it's in the region.
Most likely, yes. Yeah,
it's in the region.
It's in the region.
Yeah.
Oh, Crowley's Ranch is not... is not the Ozarks, blah, 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 blah.
That's my Raymond impression.
Paragould, the county seat of Greene County, is on Crowley's Ridge.
Well,
when I was...
Paragould is one of the most dangerous cities in Arkansas per capita.
It's because their mascot's the Rams.
Mm.
And if you can't dodge it...
Ram it.
What other city you got a show on?
Yeah. They actually moved the Rams to L.A.
Hey, guys, why did the Ram run off a cliff?
Because
Go because gobs. It didn't see the U-turn.
Oh.
No, I'm here for it.
That's lovely.
I heard better that joke than your fucking that
from Yakov Smirnoff.
Lady Rams are called U's.
That, like, he's had a tie-in. You guys aren't even paying attention, class up.
I had to explain to Sharp
what a U was.
That was
yeah.
over my head.
Just now.
And you wonder why we don't know when you're joking or not. That's called Geneva.
Anyway, this recording is going to be 6 hours long.
Two men were hunting in Greene County, Arkansas, and saw something, quote, bearing the unmistakable likeness of humanity that was harassing and attacking a herd of cattle.
That's definitely what I think about humanity, just like ferally attacking cows.
That is the livestock that I would attack if I was feral first.
That's probably fair.
Not a chicken house.
I was going to say, I do chickens.
The creature was gigantic, covered in hair, and had long hair that, quote, enveloped the neck and shoulders. So a mullet.
Yes.
When the creature saw the men, it stared at them before running into the woods, quote, with great speed, leaping from 12 to 14 feet at a time.
Hell yeah.
And that's the entirety of that story.
So it's like Beast from X-Men.
Yes. Or the Hulk in that one movie. The one Hulk movie.
There's two Hulk movies.
It was whenever I was still watching Marvel movies, so we're talking like 2003. With, like, the mutant dogs.
Oh, that's not... Yeah, that's the Ang Lee Hulk movie. It's actually kind of good.
Interesting. So, local residents were said to have believed that the wild man was a survivor of the New Madrid earthquakes of 1811 and 1812, who had, during the earthquakes, fled into the wilds of the countryside and had then gone feral.
Which happens in Crowley's Ridge.
I mean, Paragould's one of the most dangerous cities in the state of Arkansas.
But you're saying this is the 1830s, and so, like, within 20 years, one fucking catastrophic earthquake. That's all it takes.
I mean, well, the river ran backwards. It's probably terrifying.
The bells in Boston rang.
I don't think it takes that much to want to go feral.
To attack bovines.
Look, we had a neighbor that got cattle in our yard all the time, and, you know, I thought about it during COVID when
I shot a goat out of a tree one time.
I saw it.
When you said,
man,
you had a neighbor that got cattle in your yard, do you mean attacked cattle in your yard?
No, they just were not fixing their fence and their cows
walked up there with a fork.
Man.
Well, they got into the old dairy barn, our old goat dairy barn, and I couldn't get them out because it was just like, well, you know, this is the most literal form of seizing the means of production I can think of.
This story of the wild man in Greene County was probably some of that classic yellow journalism, as this account from 1834 was published in 1851 in various newspapers in Arkansas, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, and Vermont. Now, there's another wild man encounter near Texarkana in 1856, but I actually didn't read into it because the first thing that I saw when I was reading about it
was that it wasn't in the interior highlands.
Well, was that most people thought it was in Louisiana.
It's very close.
It's very close, but
just about a mile from
anyway,
Louisiana.
But our Louisiana, they come to wash us away.
We just referenced.
Shouts Randy Newman.
So many bad songs in one go, except for the Randy Newman song. That's I'll stand by that one.
Now our special Ozarks wild man, the Blue Man, was said to have first been seen in 1865.
Drumming on
a bunch of PVC pipes.
Excuse me? Oh.
You know, my first two CDs were Dido and Blue Man Group.
Fuck yeah!
That's a hell of a start.
Those are the only two CDs you need.
Well, and then my third one, I think, was the Fellowship of the Ring soundtrack.
Oh, the trifecta.
I had the Fellowship of the Ring soundtrack.
It was great. Howard Shore nailed it.
This explains a lot about
you. Oh, no,
you.
It's like it's the Rosetta Stone of my personal
life. Would you rather have dinner with Dido or Howard Shore?
Dido. I hear Howard Shore is kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
If we're talking about podcast CDs, I still think of Raymond in high school bought a copy of the poster, the Postal Service album Give Up in a gas station, and it was
Alpina.
So clearly pirated.
It was so pirated, it was called Given Up. But the thing is,
how did they have that if the gas station
they had
Alpina?
You know, the Alpina when you turn on to 412, and, like, I didn't know, because I'd, like, just heard, like, two songs, and I bought it there for, like, $5, and I was, like, showing it off, and Sharp just fucking roast me in front of Redacted about how it was, yeah, good times.
Did they also have, like, Elliott Smith live albums
there? They had a surprising amount of the bootleg,
Dylan?
Like, they also had, man, those were wild times, where you could, like, get Yellow Jackets. You could get the Magic Rose, which was definitely like a crack pipe.
Couldn't get beer.
And couldn't get beer. Could get synthetic marijuana, bath salts.
And by roasted and you, I also CDs. Just said, Raymond, this says Given Up.
And I was like, yeah, that's the name. Like, I went with it. Hey,
Alpina sleeps alone tonight.
Always does.
Alpina. We should do a live show there.
We need to do it right in front of the just 2 miles ahead, like,
yes,
trap sign.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But
I want to know the full backstory.
Like Kerr Redacted told me.
Oh, see, that's got to be like a four-parter, I feel like.
Honestly,
it's not that interesting.
It could make an episode, though. That might be a good one for whenever Daniel's in Europe and Gus is working.
I'm trying to work through it.
So, the Blue Man, which was said to have first been seen in 1865, accounts retold by residents of the area to newspapers in 1915 and 1925. So all of the Blue Man information comes from newspapers in 1915 and 1925. Wow. That's me clearing that up.
Did he go to World War One in the intervening years?
No. Huh. There are some other wars that come up, though.
Bigfoot now, doesn't seem like the most strategic thing to deploy in a trench. He's quite big.
That's true. Not good for World War One.
No.
And Vietnam?
He shits a ton.
If Bigfoot was in Vietnam, it would have gone a different direction.
They say tanks were actually just Bigfoot on a treadmill. I almost held that one back. I'm glad it didn't.
I mean, it's a dumb joke, but Daniel's reaction was enough to warrant it staying in.
Bigfoot didn't hold back. In the trench.
There's
over
a,
the top.
There's a website that I believe is called newspapers.com that has a bunch of scans of newspapers.
I like that you're like that you yes, there has to be a website called newspapers.com.
And you know that someone like just parked that domain name at the beginning and probably sold it for like millions of dollars.
Yes.
Like the sex.com guy.
Well, the newspapers.com, they have scans of tons and tons of newspapers. And so I don't know how much money they're making off of it, but I was able to read the 1925 article.
That's cool.
In which many residents claim to have seen it. But the main story revolves around a man named Solomon Collins.
That's a great name.
Solomon Collins mostly just went by Saul. Now, it's S-O-L.
Okay.
But it's Solomon.
Shout out of
luck. So I'm assuming it's Saul.
Saul.
But I don't know. Saul was from St. Louis. Saul was a known and renowned hunter and tracker and was out hunting and tracking near Ava, Missouri on a winter day in 1865. Yes?
Just a lot of noted hunters in urban area St. Louis in the 19-teens.
This is 1865.
You said all of these were from 19 fucking 15.
But the story is from 1865.
So it's just been passed down.
Yes.
So he went 100 miles to Ava, Missouri.
Raymond, they're called secondary sources. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not.
I haven't.
Okay.
I mean, he was from
St.
Louis.
Pass their DBQs.
Well, but he was clearly familiar with the region. Let's see. Winter day, 1865, blah, blah, blah. As Saul began to look at tracks to decide what he should trail on his hunt, he found some tracks that he was unfamiliar with.
People.
The tracks looked like that of a bear, but were significantly larger, both longer and wider. Immediately, Saul decided to track the bear and aim to kill what must have been the largest bear to ever exist in the entire history of the Ozarks.
Oh, we have our hero.
Saul followed the tracks for many hours, eventually climbing the northern slope of Upper Twin Mountain, which doesn't seem to exist. I tried to find it. And heard a loud noise above him on the mountain, and then had to quickly dodge as a large boulder was crashing down towards him.
Gasp.
More boulders came after, and he hid behind a tree which was strong enough to protect him from the falling rocks. He was then able to see what was causing the rocks to rain down. A gigantic man with animal skins wrapped around his waist and feet, and at the very least 9 feet tall and covered in short black hair.
And someone in the audience that's conspiracy oriented is just being like, Nephilim.
Oh, could be.
Yeah. Or this guy is playing Ocarina of Time. And newspaper.com just, you know, is pretty recent.
Is it the Gorons?
Yeah. Nailed it.
I've never played Ocarina of Time.
Well,
it's your fault.
Find another podcast, bud.
So it's interesting to me how many Bigfoots throw rocks. That seems to be like a common wild man myth. Because didn't you guys have a Bigfoot throw rocks at you or some kind of like tall tale of that?
Down in Woolham, Arkansas, yeah. Searcy County.
I've come to realize that that's just like river sounds that we hear.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, the first time I heard it,
you're telling me Bigfoot's not real?
As Saul observed the creature, it dropped a large 10-foot club it had been holding and grabbed another boulder and threw it at Saul.
So it was holding a club bigger than itself. As you do. He said 9 feet tall.
Have you not seen bigger. Captain Caveman?
Okay, and earlier we got so off track that I forgot I mentioned it, but I mentioned Lauren Coleman, my favorite cryptozoologist. He has a book called The Field Guide to Bigfoot, and I meant to flip through it today because Lauren Coleman, as a cryptozoologist, he's an expert on primates, and at some point in the 60s or 70s, someone contacted him to look at some sort of Bigfoot thing happening, and he was at Idaho State University, I believe, so it was somewhere West Coast, but basically because he has a...
yeah, Idaho, noted West Coast locale.
It was somewhere in the West. Jeez. But then...
Coast was part of the thing.
You've never been to Boise Beach? part of what he did is he approached Bigfoot as a primate expert. So whenever he writes about cryptozoology, he writes about it in a scientific way, which some people criticize him for, but also he's like, I'm not saying any of this is real. I'm just writing about it like it is because that's what my background's in. But in his field guide to Bigfoot, it's really interesting because he breaks Bigfoot down into like 30 or 40 subspecies. And he has a skin-wearing, club-wielding Bigfoot, but I forgot to look in my book again.
Okay.
So I might add a little thing at the end.
So what you mean is a guy who's a primate expert, which it's like requires expert studies, time in the field, very few people are going to read your writings, figured out that if he writes about imaginary creatures, he can sell books and become some podcaster's favorite cryptozoologist.
Yeah, but that's because Bigfoot's cool.
His books are amazing. I love them so much. Anyway.
I'm just saying, they got an economic interest in churning out this bullshit.
So, after the creature dropped the club and threw another rock at Saul, the creature gave an ear-splitting cry that echoed and reverberated across all the land and mountains.
Do
and Saul decided he had seen enough and fled from the area.
Good call, Saul.
Saul returned to civilization.
Could have had a better call, Saul.
Saul returned to civilization and organized a posse of other skilled hunters and trackers, and they tracked and followed the creature for weeks and weeks, but never saw it again. Though many residents of the country during this period were said to have been awoken by hideous screams in the middle of the night and would wake to find their sheep and pigs stolen and devoured in the night.
Well, if they're woke, I don't want to fucking hear it.
I'm trying to keep that one together.
That's my favorite Raymond laugh. Because it kind of just sounds like a fart.
And it also is just like air escaping.
I was
trying to not laugh.
It wasn't funny.
I was editing an episode and was like, what is that?
Sorry.
Extremely sporadic sightings continued for a couple of decades, but nothing of note happened until 1915, when a posse supposedly raided the cave of the Blue Man and found bones and viscera and all that sort of thing, but not the Blue Man. Though a man by the name of Jay Tabor claimed to have seen him, but the black hair had turned gray as the Blue Man had gotten old.
So why is he known as the Blue Man?
There are two potential answers for that.
Sacre bleu.
The first is that Saul Collins said the black fur on the creature gave a blue hue.
I was about to... the blue hoot.
A blue hoo.
A hootenanny.
Now, the second is because most people called Solomon Collins by his nickname that I've left out so far.
Oh, boy.
Not Saul.
Blue Saul. Here's the thing.
Is he like one of the blue people in Kentucky?
That's what I was just wondering.
No.
Aw.
First off, we're in Arkansas.
Well,
yeah, but inbreeding happens everywhere.
And he's from St. Louis.
There's a blue. It's closer to Kentucky. I think if you search blue people in the Ozarks, there is some blue people that I think it's the same deal as the Kentuckians.
The like Fugues or something. I forget their name. It's like a family.
Yeah.
So how Blue Saul got his nickname is unknown, but there are two theories for it. One is that he was so obsessed with the Blue Man that he became Blue Saul. But I like that because then it's, you know, it's like a wheel that just kind of,
yeah,
you know, goes back into itself.
An Ouroboros.
Time is a flat circle.
Yes, that's an Ouroboros.
Aurora or Blorilaris?
Yeah, yes, exactly. You got it.
The second
in the south, it's Australius.
That's true.
Now, the other idea is that it has some sort of ties to the Civil War, whether Union or Confederate, because some things I saw said that he was a Union soldier, where some said that he was
Union,
a Confederate
Bigfoot.
That hunted, like, Union, kind of bushwhacking stuff.
Mm.
But it should also be mentioned, because Saul was a veteran of the Civil War, but he was also a veteran of the War of 1812.
Shit.
And was 75 years old when his encounter with the Blue Man occurred in 1865.
If he fought in 1812, the Civil War starts in 1865 or 1860? 1860, it ends in 1865.
It starts in 1861.
Well, Lincoln is... The secessions happen in 1860.
Yes.
Like the first round. They do.
Do they?
Yes, because the president doesn't do jack and shit, and that's part of, like...
how to be a president in the United States?
Yeah. James Buchanan, Joe Biden, JBs, both of Irish heritage.
Both old as shit.
Both old as shit. You tell me.
Yeah, buttholes of shit.
You tell me what that means. It means Lincoln's winning this next one.
Follow the money.
A story was printed in the Springfield Leader.
Okay, hang on. No, we're going back to him being 60-some-odd in the Civil War.
He was 71 when...
In 1890?
He was 71 in 1861.
71?
Yes.
In 18... what?
61, when the Civil War started.
Oh, when the Civil War... I thought you said when he saw the thing, he was 71.
No, he was 75 in 1865. He was born in 1790.
But he served his country.
Twice. But, I think, I'm pretty sure he was, like, in the military, 1812, and in the Civil War.
Front lines.
Probably bushwhacking. Anyway, I just think it's funny that we don't know how the Blue Man got its name, and all we know about Blue Saul is we don't know how he got his nickname, but it's either because of the Blue Man, which we don't know how he got its name, or because it had something to do with the Civil War while he was in his 70s.
Some real grandfather paradox stuff.
A story was printed in the Springfield Leader that I will forewarn is quite racist, which is the origin of the legend of the Blue Man.
Oh, boy.
What date is this one? Do you have it?
November 17th, 1924.
Okay.
Which was that... The story is that a French fur trader had come to the area pre-Louisiana Purchase and was traveling with a beautiful Spanish woman who he traded to a local native tribe where she was kept captive. A unique and mutated...
That was a sentence that he traded.
He was traded to a local native tribe and she was kept captive.
Everyone is now pulling at their collars.
A unique and mutated race of people came from her. And the Blue Man was the last of her descendants.
Listen, I will say I'm happy that one of the groups that they're being racist against are Spanish people. Because that was more than I expected, honestly. Yeah. Right? Like, the fucking Spaniards, their weird heads,
and
their blue fur.
There's a section in Cryptozoarchia, there's a section in Cryptozoarchia, which was Mark Spitzer's last monster book.
Yes.
That has
my third favorite cryptozoologist.
That has a.
I guess he's my favorite because he was my teacher.
But he has a scan of that news story in his book, which he says that it's shameful and racist, and kind of pokes fun at the Springfield Leader for posting it because it was the 1900s by that point. So.
Yeah, but when did the lynchings happen in Springfield? So I think it was the late teens or early 20s.
I'm not terribly surprised that a 1900s newspaper in this area is racist, to be totally frank.
That's right. Fair. There was a very interesting...
I mean, I remember racist news articles when I was alive. So, you know...
When you were alive?
Yeah.
No,
well, that's
Jasper.
Although this was the Harrison Daily Times.
No, I definitely remember when the Ebola outbreak was happening in Africa. You remember?
No.
I mean, there's been more than one, but
The one in like 2016-ish?
Yeah.
But
I think my dad was fired at that point. Just gonna put that on record.
There were delegates from Ghana that were coming to visit Harrison. And because of the Ebola outbreak, Harrison told them they couldn't come, even though Ghana was thousands of miles away from the Ebola outbreak.
Well, that tracks.
And then around that same time...
I do remember this. I think you sent it to me.
There was a Harrison Daily Times article. Front page, the headline was, Love of Music Legacy, comma, not racist.
If you got to put it in the headline, that's already a sign, you know.
Anyway,
what kind of music was it?
I mean, I think it was like
James Taylor cover band.
it was about
Black Oak, Arkansas.
Someone's grandpa was a Klan member, but got his granddaughter into music.
Fuck.
Cool.
There's the Daily Times.
They're having a time.
I'm from Jasper. I want that on record again.
what's the rag in Jasper called?
Newton County Times.
Mm. They usually have a page.
Just one.
It's not a lot of news.
It's just classifieds.
The obituary's just one person because it's so small.
I love reading my local paper. 75 cents. Once a week.
Are you gonna say where you live? Or are you gonna keep
it's
that
a
out?
Secret.
He's from Booger Hollow.
Booger Holler.
The
Bullfrog Valley.
like Toad Suck.
That's actually really close to Booger Hollow.
Oh, is it?
By the way.
Oh, there you go.
Just shy of Toad Suck.
No, it's nowhere near Toad Suck.
It's next to Salamander Knees.
Nope. That's made up.
Over by Turtle Blowjob.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is right next door to Raymond's Bullshit.
So Mark Spitzer pointed out...
Is he related to Elliot?
We've covered Mark Spitzer. You've probably met Mark Spitzer.
Who's Elliot Spitzer?
Thank you, Raymond.
Who is that? Who is it?
It's a politician from New York.
What's he do? Why would I know that?
Because he was in the news for corruption and nonsense. It was a good joke.
But he wasn't Wiener.
You're right. He wasn't Anthony Wiener.
To his credit.
It's unfair when the world's like, yeah, the guy named Anthony Wiener is a pervert. It's like, of course he is.
Tony Wiener?
Yeah, like,
not Tony.
Not Tony Wiener.
What was his like pseudonym? Carlos Danger, I
think? Carlos Danger, that's right. Yes.
It's just like,
God. He had to make it a little racist. Tony Wiener wasn't enough.
Yeah, he's white New Englander. No, they call me Carlos.
Carlos Danger.
Carlos Danger.
If he had an ounce of bravery in him, he'd be Tony Cock.
Yeah, well, he's a fucking coward. You heard it here on Waltz.
Anyway, we got...
His disgraced politician disgraced further.
From 8 years
ago. Later.
Yeah.
You thought it was over. No, Tony, we got you.
Fucking fuck remember. You, Wiener.
God damn, you ain't welcome around here.
It's so great that he had a documentary crew filming him.
Documentary?
Well, you know, during that entire thing.
He was his own documentary.
Oh my God.
That's a pretty fun documentary, actually.
I had no idea that he, like, that's, oh.
That's just watching a man's career fall apart in an hour and a half or so.
That's what we're all doing right now.
Sorry, Daniel.
And Mark Spitzer's final book, Cryptozoarchia. He pointed out that the Ozarks' first European settlers were Scottish and Irish, and that the Blue Men of Minch were already a well-known Scottish legend. The Blue Men in Scotland were also called Storm Kelpies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Now, Kelpies are shape-shifting water spirits that usually are in the form of a horse.
Yes, and then you touch them and you get stuck to them and they drag you down.
Well, and they could also change their shape into the shape of a human.
Mm-hmm.
Which
usually
looked
a beautiful woman.
Normally a rotund baby figure, cherubic, also known as a Kewpie.
That's not accurate.
The Blue Men of Minch, however, were more similar to mermen and tried to drown sailors in the Outer Hebrides.
Huh.
Did he say that right?
Yeah, Hebrides.
Okay.
I might have put a little twang on the
first. That's one of those words that I've seen written, but I can't think of a time where I've heard someone say it.
He brides?
Well, and a lot of people associate the Loch Ness Monster with being a Kelpie as well.
Yes. So. I have to point out, this is a group text throwback. It is believed that the Blue Men of Minch have their origin with the Moors in the 9th century who had been marooned in the area.
God, imagine coming from, like, the beautiful climes of North Africa and Morocco and then, like, being marooned in fucking northern Scotland.
In the Outer Hebrides.
I don't know why we left the tropics.
I
don't know why. I mean, I do know why. It's because some assholes felt they need to go to cold weather, get a hard on, and then conquer everyone.
Do we know that?
Do we know? Let me give that a Google.
Do we?
Kind of.
Now, obviously, the story about Kelpies and mermaids is a lot different than a Bigfoot creature, but them sharing the names and the Scottish being one of the first European settlers here, have to point that out. It's a very, very interesting connection.
Well, again, this goes back to my theory that all folkloric figures in a cryptozoologist's hands just become Bigfoot.
Yes. Yeah.
And we will end today's episode with just a fun little thing that I found while researching the topic that Daniel's sister also found. In 2017, actor Rob Lowe, who is most remembered for videotaping himself having sex with a 16-year-old, was shooting a reality.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my fucking reaction too when Sharp Tech like told me this. How does he have a career?
Because technically...
Because it was in the 90s.
It was in the 90s. It was in a state that 16 was the age of consent, and it was a consenting partner. And also, if you're a white man in media, you can get away with a lot more. But
also, I think it came out while he was, like, right after being really hot on Parks and Rec, and everyone was just like, I kind of just going to ignore that.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunately anyway, what people do.
So Rob Lowe, Rob Lowe had
more like Rob Blow.
Rob Lowe had sex with a 16-year-old and videotaped himself doing it.
He also probably did lots of cocaine.
He was shooting a reality show that he had with his son.
He was still in Wayne's World.
He was in Wayne's World.
Was he in Wayne's World or Tommy Boy or both?
He was in Tommy Boy for sure.
He was in a lot of fucking shit.
Yeah, he was huge.
Was that before or after this?
This would have been like all before.
He also plays an Arkansan, possibly an Ozarker, in the Stephen King adaptation of The Stand, because he plays Nick Andros, and he's from Shoyo, Arkansas. I had to make a map of all the fictional towns in the Ozarks. That's why I know this.
That one went past me.
Andros was the boss in Star Fox.
Oh.
So,
evil Andros, I failed you.
Isn't that what the people are from in Game of Thrones, like the Andros King? I don't know.
Nobody told me I should bring the Nintendo 64, and now I just know that I should have.
Get a console with a real controller.
Daniel and wife have a Switch.
That's not the same.
It's not the same, but you can get 64 games. So
can we play NFL Blitz?
No.
It's not on there.
Fuck.
Okay, so Rob Lowe is shooting a reality show with his sons called The Low Files. I would have called it The Low Live. Now, they were shooting in the Oklahoma Ozarks and had a terrifying encounter with a wood ape. You can find him talking about it on YouTube. That's about all you need to know. But I found a rebuttal from a local man that's associated with the North American Wood Ape Conservancy.
That was the wood ape.
Who went along with the Lowe family on their trip to find a wood ape. Most of it is pretty standard fare reality show behind the scenes. And his main complaints about it were how the editing of the show misrepresented a lot of what occurred.
No kidding.
But he was mostly upset that the show cut out a section of, quote, hoots and whoops that the man claimed were some of the best wood ape vocal evidence he had ever heard. And it was recorded, but he didn't get access to it. But he did say that the filming was actually in the Oklahoma Ouachitas, not the Ozarks. And a section in the show that shows everyone panicking, this is also on YouTube, it's everyone panicking and you see, like, light shine and it's, like, really spooky. And, you know, the belief is that they're surrounded by wood apes. But it was actually an encounter with a group of ATV riders that were just trying to get home after a long day of riding and were lost in the dark.
That seems much more plausible. So back in the day when I was doing the original run of my webcomic Backwood Folk, anyone that does webcomics with any kind of readership will get probably some pretty wild emails from readers and things like that, especially in this era. But I had this great reader because this comic involved kind of a Bigfoot type creature, and he would just email me every time there was a Arkansas Ozarks based Bigfoot sighting. And this was the best reader I ever had. But the best story he ever sent me was about a bunch of people getting fined for trying to hunt Bigfoot at Steel Creek. Oh my God. And
I forgot about that.
Yes. Yeah. And so,
it's an endangered species.
Well, no. They got fined for not having the proper permits to hunt Bigfoot.
The guy that organized that, National River. Do you know what his real, honest to God, last name is?
No.
Moneymaker.
Oh, yes. I did know that. Okay. Yes. But, like, yeah, it's one of my favorite ideas is just, like, oh, we're going to find these guys. But, I mean, Arkansas kind of has a weird history with cryptids and, like, national parks. Because, I mean, the White River Monster has its own nature preserve.
Ding!
Forgot
Gus
about that.
Gus mentioning the White River Monster is, like, its own kind of running joke.
Have I mentioned it before?
It all the time.
No,
oh
I think he's mentioned
no,
it
I
once.
Don't think so.
Listeners,
Sharp's being a bully.
I'm not being a bully.
I honestly have no memory of a recording. What's the moment we get out of it?
So there's still no. Okay, like, let's. Reaction time. One, so it's around Ava?
Yeah.
Is the only place where the stories are around.
It's like.
South of
Sprangle. 30 minutes east, southeast of Springfield.
Okay. So between like here or between Springfield and Branson,
If you took the Peel Ferry,
I think
if you didn't, I'm pretty sure if you don't go left.
I was trying to do research the other day when I should have been working.
Listeners, Gus is reading a book.
No, I actually have a book that has a similar cryptid. It's not Ozark, so we're not going to do an episode on it. But it's another situation where you have...
It's the Teal Man.
No, it's Wild Man Little Sam. And it's out of... It was a story... I found it in a book called Once Upon a Time in Arkansas by John K. Quint. And it's about finding fairies and little people in the Ozarks. And this is another case of a kind of wild man that ages over time. Whoa. Except that he is a small Bigfoot. He's like a little guy.
Little Bigfoot.
And his name was Little Sam, and they just kind of raised their kids with him. And the story was told by Edith Perry, who was raised in Ouachita River Bottoms near Union County in southern Arkansas.
Also, I feel like the Blue Man kind of sounds
like a percussive group.
Well, that and Baron from The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah. Bjorn. Yeah.
Bjorn.
Baron.
Whatever. I didn't... the bear. It's Bjork.
Bjorn. But yeah, it's Bjork.
Yeah. Icelandic famous bear man.
But I always kind of like the more like a human-style wild men Bigfoots because it's just kind of a nice wrinkle on it. It's like, hey, he's just a guy.
Was it just like a tall dude? Like, who... just wanted to
probably
fuck
just
off
a weird himself. Hermit, you know, yeah. I think we've all read like
is it the
weird...
Leather Man,
yeah, that's where like yeah. Weird USA.
No,
like...
y'all are thinking of the Slender Man,
but no, because like there's a lot of like hermits that get like these weird outsized lore about them that just keeps growing and growing, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's something quite like that.
That's Birdman.
The Leather Man was a good life,
yeah,
ish,
was it?
No, but. I mean, you just walk in a big circle and get free food and don't talk to anyone. Just go,
So the other thing with the blue man, have you guys seen the guy that, like, overdosed on colloidal silver?
Yes.
And he is legitimately blue?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Papa Smurf man?
Yeah,
he's going to live forever.
That's not the same thing.
How do you know?
Well, I wonder, like, if any of the people that are, like...
I found the first silver mine in the Ozarks.
Because, like, one of the... the hot new cryptids right now is giants. Like, everyone loves giants right now because a bunch of... Like, the conspiracy theory is a bunch of, American soldiers in Afghanistan encountered a giant in a cave that speared them. Like... it was a red-headed giant in furs, you know?
And it's so... All the pictures are, like, so obviously AI, but them. Yeah.
I would have brought that field guide to Bigfoot, but Raymond ridiculed it so much that what's
well, if
the
we
point?
Made all of our decisions based on what Raymond ridiculed, we wouldn't even have a podcast.
That is very true. I must come clean. I thought that this was a terrible idea, but here I am.
Here you
thinking
are.
It's a better idea.
Fair Sharp is just looking into the middle distance
right now. I would just like to
right
thank
now.
Everybody once again for listening to We Always Lie to Strangers.
I was trying to make a come clean joke.
Oh.
Sharp is trying to come, but it's been an excellent evening.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, bleep a doo.
Bigfoot anecdotes.
I like it. No, we're going. We're going. We're never stopping.
Hello, it's Sharp with the Sources. We've got Which Communities Were Indigenous to the Ozarks by Nina Todea at KSMU, Bigfoot, the Historical Record by Terry L. Jones and CountryRoadsMagazine.com, the Sedalia Weekly Democrat, January 30th, 1924, found on newspapers.com, Scottish Myths, The Blue Man of Mitch at Scotsman.com, The Blue Man, an Ozarks Legend Long Told But Nearly Forgotten from OzarksAlive.com, Blue Man of Spring Creek at thelibrary.org, Springfield, Greene County, Ozark Sasquatch at ozarkhistory.blogspot.com, the Mark Spitzer books Crypto Arkansas and Cryptozarkia, Long Strange Night with Rob Lowe by Brian Brown at woodape.org, and finally, The Kelpie at historicuk.com. thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.